Vic Porcelli.
Come on, you're Italian. You understand.
Every day is a busy day all of a sudden.
You talking to me? You talking to me?
Tough and smart, and I love Italian, so you know, he's definitely Italian.
At least I have this show to come and talk about it and let some stuff up.
What kind of a show are you guys putting on here today?
The Vic Porcelli Show.
Good morning, freedom fighters. Kenny Williams.
Good morning, Vic.
How you doing, baby?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. All right, big show today. It's Thursday. The great, the one, the only, Karen Cavallian kicks us off. She's warming up in the bullpen right now. All right, Kenny, let's roll. The one and only Karen Cavallian.
Did you know that I'm married to a trucker? I feel like using a Yiddish word for mischt. Spoiling in front of my computer, I am. They're just too dumb to lie. He has the effect of six shots of scotch.
You think that once Donald Trump is gone, it's the end of MAGA? I don't know if it's the end of that sort of attitude. I mean, the MAGA is the closest thing to the modern version of the Nazi party. This is America's version. It's the closest thing without the Holocaust and all that stuff. That sort of mindset, that's what MAGA is, because most intelligent people are logical people. When they get new information, and if that information is negative or not factual, then they change their minds. I wish I had known better. And now that I have this information, then I can readjust. No matter what no matter how many facts and how much information you give them about this presidency, about the policies, they don't change their minds because they're really not voting for the price of eggs. They're voting for white supremacy. They're voting for power. They're voting to have a preeminent voice. They've been co-opted by many people in the Republican Party and Donald Trump to think that their failures are due to something else, the other, the black person, the woman, the Latino, the immigrant, the migrant. That person is taking your job. That person is the reason that you don't have the financial or career success that you think that you should have. It's because of them. We want to take our country back. That's what MAGA is.
There you go, Karen. All that, you know, the Holocaust and all that stuff.
I heard this. I can't even remember which jerk that was.
That was Don Lemon.
Oh, yeah.
They're so stupid.
I heard it. I probably tuned it out at some point. Because not only is it pure projection, you just replace what he's saying and apply it to themselves and you'll get much of the picture. They're the ones that blame everybody. They're the ones that are bigots. But beyond that, I hope I can say this without getting bleeped. They're talking out of their butt. He is. He's talking
out of
his butt.
Oh, you're just such a foul-mouthed person.
Wow, you're potty
mouth. I wanted to say,
oh my God. Don't you cuss on this radio.
Yeah.
He's talking out of his ass.
There you go. That's what I like to see.
There you go.
That's what I really wanted to say.
But here's the thing. He starts talking about how MAGA is the new Nazi, German Nazis and all that. And he goes, well, without that Holocaust.
Without all that burning people alive and massacring them and burying them in shallow graves. And
what a throwaway. It was such an ignoramus. It's almost like saying, well, you know, the food is good with all that, you know, cholesterol and stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like saying some people did something on 9/11.
Yes.
That's what it reminds me of.
Yeah. Ilhan Omar.
Yeah, you did. You do get me worked up. Over the weekend, we heard that the people from the Smithsonian now believe, or this was, forgive me, sometimes I'm not getting the full story because my hair goes on fire and I have to go put it out, you know. Politeness is now racist. Yeah. But it's not bigoted to say, well, it's Nazi, but without all that Holocaust stuff.
Right.
That's not racist. That's not bigoted, hateful. Oh, come on.
Come on, people.
I mean, sometimes all you can do is laugh, but you don't want to laugh because it's so profoundly, deadly serious. These people are so stupid.
And I know that whatever podcast he was on probably has dozens of listeners, but... You know, and he still said it, you know what I mean? And we have to know, because he's running for president. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard that. Yeah. These people are deluded. I mean, not that I don't want to take them seriously. I never was very impressed with Meghan McCain, but I heard she said, don't laugh and not take these communists seriously. You better take them seriously.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I've heard her say that I agree with.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we have to take it seriously. But at some point, it is astounding what people will swallow or attempt to swallow and justify, not only what they swallow, but what they're trying to get other people to swallow.
Yeah. May I read a post that you put on Twitter? Do you mind?
I would love if you'd do that. I may have put it up just for you. You never know.
Perfect. It was 12 hours ago. And it says, is Sean Hannity really that stupid to put the Colorado governor on his show because he lies about being against socialism? Does he know what's happened to Colorado? Does he know Polis wants desperately to be the POTUS and is using him as another useful idiot? Nah, he doesn't.
God, you would think that my hair is on fire all the time.
It is.
I'm utterly bald now.
I'm sure your husband walks around with a bucket behind you. Ah, Karen's hair is on fire again.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's one of the reason I'm somewhat selective these days about what I watch, because it'll be more noise and fodder and it won't get picked up and stuff. And it's like, why should I keep setting my hair on fire? This one I just had to rant about because of my beloved hometown of Denver, yes. Colorado. My parents were born in Denver, Colorado, on the Jewish hood on the west side.
The Jewish, Jewish hood. Hey, that's you got a nickel.
It was the Jewish hood. And you know, I mean, it absolutely breaks my heart what has happened to Colorado, all of Colorado, but in particular Denver. And this jerk, Sean Hannity, who can only repeat himself. I thought you'd like it because I know that Sean Hannity is not exactly one of your favorite people. But to do that and for Republicans to fall for it, Polis is not stupid. He's wanted to be president for 20 years now. He bought himself his first elected office. He's worth about half a billion. I looked it up. He doesn't have as much as I thought, but he self-finances. He probably couldn't self-finance a presidential campaign, but he's trying. He's always trying to set himself apart and set himself up for the next thing. And he doesn't vote. He's so he plays the long game so carefully that he won't vote for anything that the insane communist Colorado legislature, which has complete control over Colorado, does. He lets it happen. He never speaks out against it. He never vetoes it. And so dumb conservatives, if you can call them that, Sean Hannity, gives them a platform. What's wrong with him?
He does not.
He's got to go to Colorado. Go take a trip to Denver and see what's happened if you have any clue of what Denver used to be like.
He does no preparation for that show. I think interns or whatever does the research and stuff. And he has relied on, like you said, saying things over and over again, right? Because he's got to memorize. He also puts a lot of investment into, well, we've known each other a long time, right? When he was at the National Republican Convention in Milwaukee, my wife and I played a drinking game. Let's see how many times he said, we've known each other a long time. We were drunk after the first 10 minutes.
It's all about him. Remember when in theater we used to say, phoning it in?
Yep. Yep.
That's what he
absolutely
seems like. He
and the worst,
it in.
Worst interviewer in all of media, him and Laura Ingraham share the prize of the worst interviewers ever, because they can't figure out after 20. He tells us how many years he's been at Fox, saying all that time, Sean, you've never figured out the delay and how the delay works. And when you say something, your guest doesn't hear it for a couple seconds. Well, this is the reason why I like to bring up Sean Hannity, because he's up against, on the radio here in St. Louis, our afternoon show of Tim Jones and Chris Arps. And I always implore people to listen to Tim and Chris instead of stupid Sean Hannity.
I think we're going to have to be calling him stupid Sean Hannity.
I'm good with that.
I have no problem, as the Democrats like to say, calling out dumb Republicans. Yeah. Many of them are corrupt. Many of them are in bed with Democrats so they can go to the right parties, so they can sell out and make sure the Democrats will allow them to get reelected. And they deserve to be called out for that. They're the people that have been standing in the way of election integrity right now. And if people aren't furious and a little bit with their hair on fire, keep a little water next door, you know, just so that you don't disintegrate completely. I'm melting. But do be angry, because we have every reason to be angry. They've shown themselves again and again and again. We keep giving them the majority and they keep squandering. No, they keep betraying us.
Karen, one thing that frustrates me about Sean Hannity just by itself is that as a producer of this show, and I grab clips all the time, I can never get one from any of his guests because he's always interrupting them.
Yeah.
And it really pisses me off because they're at a perfect point, and then he goes, but anyway, he jumps right in there. And by the way, Ed Stoyt needs to say something to you.
Hello, this is Ed Stoyt. Hey, Karen, how you doing?
I just had to throw that out there because I saw it on there.
He does that in such a non-Italian way. I hear how a real Italian says, how you doing?
Hey. How you doing?
I was hoping Vic would do it, but that's good enough.
I'll do it anyway if you want.
Please, I want to hear it.
Hey, how you doing?
See, that's how you do it.
Because you got to bring the voice down a little bit, right? You're trying to get her to...
Right.
You know, hey, how you doing?
Could you do one more for me? Forget about it.
Forget about it.
That's it. Forget about it.
You know, we play a clip a lot from Donnie Brasco. Have you seen the movie Donnie Brasco?
Yes, a long time ago.
Michael Franzese calls Al Pacino's part in that the best portrayal of a mob guy ever.
And really?
Yeah, but that's not what I'm talking about. So Paul Giamatti plays an FBI guy along with, you know, Donnie Brasco. And he says to him, you have it? No, okay. He says, Paul Giamatti says, what's forget about it? And
hey, can I ask you something?
Here we go. Well,
what's forget about it? What is it?
Forget about it. It's like if something is the greatest thing in the world, like Mingo's peppers, forget about it, you know? Sometimes it just means forget about it.
All right. Thank you very much. I got it.
So the greatest thing about that is he uses an Italian phrase, minchia, which kind of means forget about it. So it's kind of...
Forget about it. One syllable. Forget about it.
Forget about it.
Yeah. And not only that, I noticed the delivery with his... it's like he's half asleep.
He was trying to drink a beer and rest because he's been undercover with these mob guys risking his life. Yeah.
Because that's part of the what is it, saunter? What was it that Frank Sinatra had? He had swagger.
Swagger.
It's part of the Italian swagger.
He had swagger, for sure.
I don't have enough energy to answer you, but I will.
Forget about it. Mean, get those peppers. All right, Karen. Always great. Thank you so
always
much.
Great.
Have a great weekend.
My pleasure. Good to have you back. Hope you're feeling better.
I'm feeling great. Nothing wrong. God, you're such a Jew. You worry so much.
Everybody. But Karen, everybody
don't
was asking.
Don't make me worry about you.
Everybody's asking. So what's wrong with Vic? Why is he out? I'm like, well, he just wants to take a little time off.
I was up pacing the floor worrying about you. Thanks, Karen.
Okay, good. Good to have you back.
Thank you.
See you, Karen.
See you, bye. Bye.
The one and only Karen Cataline.
Do you know that I'm married to a trucker? I feel like using a Yiddish word, famished. Boiling in front of my computer, I am. They're just too dumb to lie. He has the effect of 6 shots of scotch.
I don't think I've ever heard that open. That's pretty good. I mean, Ken, you're a master of putting those together, but welcome, Karen Cataline. How are you?
I'm good, Nate. How are you? Hi, Ken.
Hey, Karen.
Doing pretty well. I haven't stepped outside today, so I don't know if the air is any better, but we've been dealing with the smoke, which has come over from Canada here in D.C. Huh. Did St. Louis get any of that? But you're out west, aren't you, Karen?
Yeah, I am not in Missouri. That is okay. True.
No, right now here in St. Louis, what happened yesterday was in the 90s, and then it had to rain for about 10 minutes, just enough to get that mugginess a little thicker coat when you walk outside. It just hits you like a blanket.
Mm-hmm. Are you having trouble breathing, Ken?
We're staying inside. We're good. Good.
It was so
never
bad.
To come out again.
No.
Yeah, we used to call my little cousin Gray Boy, and that would force him to come out of the basement and stop playing video games and like get some vitamin D so he could get some sun on his face.
That's awesome. Gray Boy.
Yeah, it worked. It worked. Just be mean to a 15-year-old and imagine that. He goes outside. No, it was so bad on Friday here. I mean, you walked outside and you could just like feel it in your lungs. And I think I saw one report that said Chicago and then as it drifted east, D.C. had like the worst air quality index in decades. So once again, those Canadians just trying to, I guess, push a bunch of chemtrails on all of us.
It's so frustrating because there's nothing you can do about it. And somebody is polluting your air.
No.
Didn't the left used to complain about that many moons ago?
Yeah.
They keep changing. You can't keep track. I'm getting whiplash.
Well, think about that for a second. You think about that for a second, Nate and Karen, because I remember a time when they were yelling at us for having burning coal during during the climate crisis. However, we had this jet stream that came from China where they were burning coal in every little city and creating a new coal plant in every week. And they were still burning that stuff and it was still coming over to us, but they never complained about that.
Situational outrage.
Yeah.
It all depends on who I'm mad at. It doesn't ever depend on the facts. That's such a good point.
Yeah. Okay. Karen, let's talk about the ongoing escalation with the United States and Iran. I guess, where are we at with all this? Obviously, it seems to be escalating right now. Unfortunately, there was some news that popped out of yesterday of soldiers who were killed in Jordan. Two soldiers were killed. Isabella Gonzalez of Texas and Tyler Freehan of Hawaii died on Saturday, and there's also another soldier missing. I guess they were in Jordan supporting Operation Inherent Resolve. But where are we at with this escalation? Because it seemed like it was moving in the right direction, and then we seem to be sidetracked. So it's hard to follow, I think.
Well, Nate, it sounds like we have somewhat different perspectives, and I love that because this is talk radio. We get to do that. First off, it is always it's a tragedy, and we mourn soldiers who die. We cannot say that enough, that they gave their last full measure, and I don't mean that as a stereotype. I mean, it's always difficult to hear. On the other hand, the use of the word escalation is somewhat biased, in my opinion. No offense, because it already assumes, and you already said, that if there's quiet and nothing's happening, that's better. And that if there is attacks going on, that's escalation and that's worse. But it all depends on what map and what terms you're using. If you're, now, I say this and qualify it by the fact that I know very, very little. So much of this is a hunch. We've all been watching it, not knowing exactly. We have absolutely no idea what's really going on behind the scenes, the considerations that Trump has under these circumstances. We know, for example, that he went to Turkey and he was dissuaded from using, I think, the Kurds to go in with boots on the ground. So there's so many aspects to this chess game. But what I would say is that, and I always distract myself until I forgot my point, that if you're looking a little bit bigger picture to 47 years of dealing with someone, an entity who has funded terrorism, you've heard this argument before, no president ever did anything about it. And we've never seen any other behavior from a terrorist regime who has tortured and murdered thousands of its own people. And getting rid of this regime, which is really what has to happen, whether they say it or not, that's the only way we have a chance at peace. And it could be an amazing kind of thing to get rid of. You've got all these Gulf countries who want to do business together instead of blowing each other up. So I just sort of disagree with the characterization, and I've never been a super hawk or anything like that. It's just a problem to superimpose Western sensibilities on a regime that lives to kill you and lives to make a Muslim caliphate in the whole world. That's not an exaggeration. I'll stop there because I'm dying to know what you think of what I just said.
No, I think you're, first of all, I think you're right to point out that the way that I presented it was definitely biased. That was sharp on your behalf to pick up on that. But I think I'm just simply just coming at it from a perspective, like, I just want to see it end. And I don't know. I hate war, so I'd love to see it end. But I think mostly being here in Washington, D.C., and watching a Republican majority kind of squander an opportunity to make, you know, so many campaign promises happen. Because whenever we get into these conflicts, you know, people always tell me that the government can walk and chew gum. I don't think they do either well. And by that, I'm saying the domestic agenda just seems to get sidetracked. And I think it's going to hurt them politically. And unfortunately, it's going to lead to perhaps more socialists being in elected office and people who really aren't bright that are going to have positions of political power because Republicans aren't doing enough for the average American. And then to be in this Middle East war again, I don't know. I just don't know what the end game is.
Well, I welcome and I love that you are putting out that point of view because it's the point of view of a lot of, I would say not a lot, I don't know how many, center-right Republicans who are most assuredly concerned about the midterms. Of course, we're concerned about the midterms and we're concerned about a lot of things. The thing that I would ask is the following. You said squander an opportunity to keep campaign promises. Well, we're dealing with a Republican majority Congress who refuses to pass the SAFE Act, which 90%+ of Republicans and a huge number of independents and even Democrats want. It is highly suspicious. Every time we've had a Republican majority in this country, and it was the first term, the first half of Trump's term, Republicans have already squandered the opportunity because, and I dare say, there's too many corrupt Republicans in Congress. So we got to start there, because to think that they would do anything if given the opportunity is to ignore reality. I frankly am furious at Congress proving again and again and again that they're in bed with too many Democrats. They have no backbone. I was going to say something else. They will not stand up. They will not stand up for the people who are desperately asking for election integrity. If they don't want election integrity, that says to me they're benefiting from election corruption and fraud. So we'll start there. What we have is a president who I haven't liked the back and forth too much myself. I have been confused and perplexed by the way this has gone. I think it is infinitely more difficult than anybody knows, because he's talking about, he's trying to do something that will change the entire chess game and the entire map. In order to do that, he has to play 4 and 5D chess, and he does it with such courage and guts. Do I love everything he always does? No. But he's showing a level of backbone that most politicians can only imagine in their dreams. So I think you're going to see a lot happen between now and the midterms. We hope and pray that we will prevail over these communists. But these communists have been around and escalating, to use your word, for 17 years, and we didn't do anything. This is truly the chickens coming home to roost. Sorry, you worked me up there. I'm done.
Do you think that, the Mom Donnies of the world, is this just a flash in the pan, or do you think...
God, no.
You think there's more to come?
I don't. I absolutely don't. I think I'm frustrated about many things, but I'm also happy about many things. What frustrates me most is that the great majority of Republicans, and I know that you are a communication director for Eric Burleson, and forgive me if I don't live in Missouri, so I don't know the details, but it frustrates me that Republicans fight so weakly and are always on the defense, either because too many of them are in bed with Democrats trying to get along with them and trying to go to the right cocktail parties, or whatever the problem is, it is not serving us. And yes, I think that Democrats are characterized now. I hope I can say this quickly. Republicans and Republican pundits, conservative pundits, are falsely characterizing people in the Democrat Party as being moderate if they're not a radical communist. This, in my opinion, is a very serious mistake, because those Democrats that you're talking about and calling moderate are the ones that enabled, got in bed with the communists in order to get their votes, because that's all they ever wanted anyway. They wanted to, again, go to the right cocktail parties. And it disturbs me that we haven't been able to put an end to it anyway. It is a massive problem. They indoctrinated the young. They infiltrated our education system. This is just the beginning. The only good news is that you've got communists who are still too dumb to lie, which is good, because most of the other Democrats are lying just about how radically left they really are. They enabled all of this. And they're mad because they think that the avowed communists have been a little too honest still. They still got to keep lying to get in there. Then they'll enact more and more and more and more socialism/communism. And they're more dangerous when they lie than when they tell the truth.
And guys, listening to both of you speak, it's been awesome. I agree with things on both sides of what you're talking about in this argument. But with Mom Donnie, you mentioned his name. He's slipping things in right now as a socialist, but I guarantee you it's coming out right now. It leaks out at any given chance, the Islam factor. And that, absolutely, I think that's the true, from Mom Donnie I'm talking about. I think that is his true goal. Socialism, yeah, sure, this is great. Yeah. But Islam.
Well, yeah, because he's lying about that too. Do you think for one minute that Mr. Muslim Mamdani, whatever the hell his name is pro-LGBTQ, ABC, XYZ.
Well, right now he is.
I mean, really. Right. So he's got to lie on many levels. He's got to lie to the mainstream. Then he's got to lie to the Democrats and make them think that he's one of them. I mean, we're talking about many levels just in this country. So, yeah, it is a complicated chess game. And if we do not... If we don't keep ourselves very sharp seeing through all these lies, we could get sidetracked in a lot of different ways. I mean, it's amazing to be alive. I'm curious to know what you think, because I said a lot and I want to hear what you have to say.
I think you're right. I think that I've said it on this program before, where Republicans are allowing for a vacuum effect to take place, where you're going to just see, the most radical individual win. That's basically what our elections have become. For the left, it's resistance against the president. And for now the right, it's just a total, combating this communist threat. And I guess lost in that entire shuffle is just, your average Joe who, doesn't, he's just trying to make a living and put food on his table and maybe not pay $5 a gallon for gas and walk out of the grocery store with 10 things for $200. Like, I don't know. And to me, I've come to this conclusion that this affordability term, the only way that we're going to get affordability under control is if we have a government that stops spending money, and they are addicted to spending money. And the only way that you could fix the affordability crisis is to, quite frankly, lower the tax rate and allow Americans, hardworking Americans, to keep more of their paycheck that they have to now sign off to the IRS in form of taxes.
And maybe claw back the billions and trillions that the Democrats and others have misappropriated
through NGOs,
their own campaign coffers. What?
Through their NGOs.
Yes, yes. I mean, if we had any of that money. So again, it's many, many levels of the onion skin. What fascinates me, since you're in policy and strategy and all that for a congressman, is that there's always been a natural tension between ideology and philosophy. You know, ideology, you're hoping to attract people who you think are not very well engaged in the process or in what's going on, versus having strong principles and leading people to understand why, for example, capitalism and so forth is so important to our economy and to our freedom. So I think Republicans, frankly, across the board, for the most part, with the exception, a few notable exceptions, are horribly weak. We have the ideas. We just don't know how to be strong about them, communicate them clearly with passion. And we back off because the other side has tantrums and wins. If I have to have a tantrum to shake people, if necessary, to get them to understand that our country is on the precipice of either freedom or tyranny, then I'm going to do it if I can.
Yep, and that's where I think that if Republicans had a backbone or something else,
what we say in New Jersey, actually Vic says from New Jersey, he says bulls.
if they governed with those, then maybe, you know, if they put policy over politics for once, then maybe we could actually do good things. But, they don't want to risk losing their seat.
I do think that what Trump asked us all to do, which is to call the congressman. Usually I wouldn't do that, but I plan to. I'm doing it because grassroots and others have to grab them and shake them and demand, if you don't do something, we're coming after you. Mm-hmm. That's the only way we can.
Yep. Bingo. All right, Karen Cataline.
Rest of your show.
Thank you. I truly enjoy speaking with you. It's fun to go back and forth. Thank you very
My
much.
Pleasure.
Hey, Karen, we'll see you Thursday.
All righty. Bye.
All right, there's Karen Cataline.
The one and only Karen Cataline.
Did you know that I'm married to a trucker? I feel like using a Yiddish word, famished. Toiling in front of my computer, I am. They're just too dumb to lie. He has the effect of 6 shots of scotch.
Good morning, Karen Cataline. How are you?
Hey. Good morning, Ken and Vic. I mean, Vic and Ken.
I don't need this today.
That's just funny every time I hear it.
I don't need this. How are you?
Doing great. Doing great. Feeling good.
Okay.
Hope you both are.
Yes. Definitely.
Good.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, Vic is. Vic just wants a little, 4-day weekend. He's just looking for that 4-day weekend. It's going to be fun for him.
Hey, who could blame him? You guys do 15 hours of radio a week. Most people don't realize how exhausting that can be.
Well, thank you. Right. I'm tired.
Have I redeemed myself now?
You totally have, Karen.
Totally. All right. So I want to read you a post on X. Can I do that?
Sure.
It's a question. At what point does a reasonable person conclude that they are pro-fraud? What's the answer to that question?
Answer, a long, long time ago. First words of American Pie. I read it again. A long, long time ago. Yes. Anybody who hasn't already concluded that, what's your answer if it ain't that? It's that.
Yeah.
Not only are they pro-fraud, but I will go a step further and say that many, many of them, and it's not exclusive to Democrats, they just got more, I believe, are worried about being implicated.
Oh, no, no kidding. Boy, you're right. And I got to tell you, we had Grover Norquist in here. Do you know who he is?
Oh, I know very well.
We had him in the studio.
When you don't want to know what I know about him, though.
Did you two date back in the past?
He's good. No, he's good on taxes and stuff. He tends to be kind of pro-Arab, or at least he was.
Oh.
He has a history of that. I don't know why. And I'm not stating it pejoratively until I know. But word was he's married to a Muslim and kind of went the other way. But as far as taxes, he's very good on that.
Okay, well, let's talk about that part. How's that?
Okay, well, we'll talk about the good stuff.
So when he was here, he actually came in the studio. Like when you get Grover Norquist here in the studio, that's a good day. And we didn't have time during the interview to tell him about it. I'm sorry, it wasn't an interview. It was a conversation. We don't call them interviews. They're conversations. And right before he left, I said, hey, Grover, I said, well, before 1913, there was no income tax, you know? What happened to that? He says, well, back then, the government only spent 2%. And it all comes down to spending. But to bring up your fraud thing, the debt now for this country is, what, $38 trillion, 39. Right? $39 trillion. How much of that is actually fraud?
Unfortunately, we don't know because it's been going on for so long.
We don't know. We need to know.
We have a corrupt Congress as a whole. By the way, because this is radio and people hold you to things you say, I just have to backtrack for a second and say that someone who's married to a Muslim doesn't necessarily make them
a Jew hater.
Suspect.
Right.
Or even a Jew hater.
Right.
Anyway,
that's fine.
So I'm just saying that doesn't immediately implicate them. As I was listening on the news, total digression, that Chuckie Flatulence Schumer is not going to vote for this nominee because this nominee defended Donald Trump and that makes him guilty. See, we're not those guys. We're conservatives, and we take every issue individually, not blanket bigotry, which is what the left engages in. Now, what was the question?
I don't know. That was minutes ago. Expect me to remember that?
Exactly. Yes, it's true. There's so much fraud and corruption. Remember, every time they said, we gotta do roads and bridges, which they never build or improved. And, we need a lockbox for Medicare and all these entitlement programs because they're going broke. Well, why are they going broke? Because there are people treating these things as their private personal piggy bank and buying Lamborghinis with our money.
Karen, we talk about fraud, and you said, you know, that when are you aware? I don't think the Democrats, I think they're aware, but I think they don't care because they have the media on their side. And this goes along with the fraud in voting and everything. I want you to hear Slotkin. She talks about fraud, or not fraud, but the Save America Act, and she's not all for it.
The other thing that we blocked yesterday was the Save Act, right? Which was to rig our democracy so that it would be hard for any Democrat in any state to win any election.
There it is.
And that's the key right there. She knows
another
there's going
to
be fraud.
We have to bear.
Right, but she's not going to win. They're not going to win without it
They can't win without it. And she admitted it without realizing she admitted it. We can't win when there are fair elections, which is a great run-up to, I am very looking forward to tonight's speech. I want real news. I want real change. I mean, I want this to matter in November, because if it doesn't, you know, what's it all for if you can't have an honest election?
Right.
So that's what he's going to talk about. I hope it's something truly concrete. Well, because you're right, they can't win unless they cheat.
We're covering the entire thing tonight.
Oh, that's great.
So you can hear it
good
live.
Good for you.
If you're in the car, wherever you are.
No wonder you're exhausted. You work day and night.
I do. I slave over a hot microphone for you people.
Yes, you do.
All right. So you had mentioned briefly that they're getting on Trump for appointing Todd Blanche. Is that his first name, Todd Blanche?
Yeah, Todd Blanche. Yeah.
To be the attorney general. And because he's friends with Trump. I'm sorry, who did Biden pick again? Oh, that's right. Merrick Garland, who went after people who were just going to church.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Right.
I mean, what do they think? They want us to say, oh, here's Che Guevara. He's going to be the new attorney general.
Right.
Never applies to them. And this, of course, is the guy that Obama tried to get into the Supreme Court. I venture to say he might have been better than a woman who doesn't know what a woman is, but the left is poses a threat enormously.
I mean,
in that degree, because they all march in goose step.
I want to make sure.
Did I say that?
No, it's
lock step.
I want to make sure I understand, because I, you know, sometimes I'm slow to pick up. So, are you talking about Ketanji Jackson Brown? Wait!
No. That doesn't sound like Ketanji Brown Jackson, Dick.
You sure?
Yeah.
Because I always thought it was Ketanji Jackson Brown.
No,
I don't get it.
It's done.
All right.
Ketanji Brown Jackson.
That's our stupid tip.
I love that. I mean, you can't have this in a regular conversation, not on the air, that when you're talking to a person you really love about stuff like this, and then all of a sudden someone has a perfectly appropriate soundbite.
Are you saying?
Just push a button, and there it is.
Are you saying you really love us? Is that what you're saying?
Nah.
That was close.
Nah.
So
thanks,
close.
Karen.
I didn't go
thanks.
That far.
Nah, yeah, right. Of course. So anyway, my point is, with Todd Blanche, it's of course a guy he likes. So what are you going to do? Let me see. I'm the president of the United States. Let me pick a guy who really hates me to be attorney general. Who?
Mamdani. Let's do that.
Yeah, Mamdani. Yeah. Let's pick
Mamdani. I
was Mamdani.
Just going to say.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, exactly. Not only that, but I don't even want to say it in jest. Let's make him Secretary of State. That's like making Iran in charge of women's rights, and they do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, according
gay
to the UN,
in charge of LGBT rights in Gaza.
Yeah.
How about that?
There's a woman, I didn't catch her name. She's running for office, and she's Muslim, she says, and she's got the thing on her head.
Porcelain skin.
Yes,
I saw
makeup,
her.
Big time
I saw
makeup.
Her. Yeah.
I'm like, what? Are you sure you're an Arab or you're
look
a Muslim?
Look in the dictionary. Look in the dictionary. You will see her picture next to useful idiot.
I just don't get it. And I don't know if you saw this story, but on Fox News Digital last night, this one blew me away that this isn't the biggest story of the day and possibly of the week. A guy who's running for representative, congressional hopeful, says that Trump must be killed because he's the Antichrist.
You're kidding.
When do you get to say that?
Who you don't know who this guy is?
Yeah, he's William Upham.
From where?
Florida.
Florida?
Yeah, and he's a Republican writing candidate.
He's a Republican.
Yeah. He says that Trump is the Antichrist and he must be killed.
That is a legitimate reason to have him arrested.
Yes.
And
yes.
Hanged.
Yeah, it's treason. Yeah. It is treasonous.
Gonna bring back the T word, baby. Yeah. I mean, there is a definition. Not that we want to be them, but we're not them. You know, he's playing that. You know, every time I think I've heard it all,
yeah,
I haven't. That's a new one I haven't heard, but sadly, I'm not surprised.
Well, Karen, Vic told me that this morning, and I looked at him. I said, yeah. And he goes, well, that's pretty shocking. I said, yeah, 3 years ago it would have been.
Yeah.
But now with the Democrat Socialists, it's like, well, this is what we're getting. This is what it's growing. This whole thing.
And there were markers. There were markers.
Yes.
And this is on the left. But eventually those things meet on the other side.
Yeah.
The marker was when a guy shoots a CEO in broad daylight, yeah, on a sidewalk, who happens to be CEO of a healthcare organization, United Healthcare, and people make him into a hero and cheer. That was a marker. People didn't understand why some of us were so horrified and beside ourselves. It's because they didn't understand the ramifications of that and the message that it sends. It's okay to advocate for people's murder whom you don't like, or use others as your proxy to do so, or to incite them to do so. You know, we just don't have enough prisons. I'm sorry.
Yeah. While the socialists are saying we need to get rid of all of them.
Well, gee, you know why?
Yeah.
They'd all make be sense in them, now, doesn't it? Legitimately.
All right, Karen, you're going to miss me.
You work me up. You just work me up. That's what you do.
Apologize to your husband for me for that. Okay. You going to miss me Monday?
Of course I will. Who am I talking to?
You'll be talking to me and Nate.
Nate.
Ooh, baby. Nate. Okay, we'll try not to be too interesting for you.
Thank
okay.
you. Nate is the communications director for U.S. Representative Eric Burleson. So
tremendous. Can't wait.
Save all your Washington, D.C. comments for him.
Really, really enjoy your time off. You deserve it.
Thank you, Karen. I love you so much.
Okay, take care. Love you, too.
Bye, Karen.
Bye.